to Magic the Amateuring. I'm Megan. I'm a person who helps host this podcast, which is a podcast for players who are new to the game of Magic the Gathering, players who are returning to the game of Magic the Gathering, and anyone who likes to laugh out of their mouths after hearing funny things in their ears.
Ding! Hey everybody, I'm Rhea, one of your other aforementioned hosts of this podcast, Magic the Amateuring. Megan and I learned to play the game about 2 years ago. We are passing on our knowledge and lack of knowledge to you.
That's right. Especially our lack of knowledge. Yes. We really like to feed that to you.
Misinformation is exactly. My middle name.
You know
it is?
Maria Misinformation.
Yep. Yeah.
That has a nice ring to it. That like really tickles the tongue.
Isn't it nice?
Maria Misinformation.
Thank you.
My middle name is Miss and my last name is Information.
Well, your title could just be Miss and then your last name could be Information. Right. But then when you get married, it's like Mrs. Information.
Oh, Mrs. Information. It's horrible. And everyone's like, what's going on?
you sound like a phone book that they printed in the 50s for women that was only about women business, like hair stylists and vacuum cleaner companies.
That's the most sexist thing I've ever heard
It was the 50s.
That's true. It was the 50s.
They didn't know.
That's hilarious, though. A women's phone book.
Yeah, like, she won't need to call the car company.
Oh, no. Can someone make me a women's internet? Where I only...
Internet?
Exactly. Where I only... have to go so I can just find things that are directly related to women.
Exactly. Like, right. You don't want to clutter your internet search with ads for boxers.
Exactly. I would like female Google, please. Google lady.
Google lady. I was just going to call it ovary.
Oh, that works too.
I ovaried it for you. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about doing your homework. That's right, kids. I'm a nun, and I just slapped your knuckles with a ruler.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. Also going to talk about more PTQ stuff. We're on a little bit of a, what do you call it? Like, we're a serial drama on TV.
Yeah.
And we have 3 episodes concerning limited play at PTQs.
That's right. It's like a mini, arc.
Mini series, that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 2.
That's right.
And we've got some love for some derby cards out there.
Yeah.
Derp love.
Oh, hey, going back to that thing that you said about nuns.
Yeah.
My mom went to Catholic school as a kid because her family was very Catholic. And my mom is left-handed. And a lot of people who are left-handed are actually naturally ambidextrous.
Yeah.
And so she was, as a kid, naturally ambidextrous. And the nuns told her that she had to pick a hand because being able to write with both hands was a sign of the devil.
You all know the devil works with both hands.
So just so you know, my mom...
But Jesus only used one.
That's right. He used his right hand always to raise people from the dead. Ills.
Oh my god.
So my mom
so
could
weird.
Have been ambidextrous, but now she can only use her left hand because as a child she was taught to only use
Well, at least she
her
picked
left
her left hand, you know.
That's right.
She didn't
exactly.
totally conform. My
That's
parents
right.
growing up thought I would be left-handed because I like to make piles of acorns with my left hand. I'm half squirrel.
For the noobs, doing your homework.
Do it.
Just like your mom said you should.
Your mom was right, you guys.
She always is, so
Unless
listen to her.
Your mom is a murderer convicted by
That's
a trial
it.
Of her peers. In which case, don't listen to
Thank
her.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that part about convicted by a trial, like by trial and a jury of her peers. Because
right.
I don't want to exclude people who are like, they might be guilty, but we haven't
but we
confirmed
don't
it yet.
Know.
You're like innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
So if your mom is under suspicion, if she is, you know... currently in trial, she might still be right.
If
you never know.
Perhaps just got arrested.
Exactly.
Still innocent.
Yeah, until proven guilty.
That's our justice system.
That's right.
And I'm not here to undermine that.
Me neither.
So doing your homework, you guys, what the heck does that mean? All right, so you guys may be amateur players if you're listening to us, and you're wondering to yourself in your sleep, hey, how do I get better at magic?
That is actually the kind of dream that I have right now.
Really?
I have very practical dreams.
Like,
I'm just saying
that I gotta pay my insurance bill.
Yeah, exactly. Like literally things like that. I've had dreams recently about.
But it's not practical if in your dream it does not actually accomplish it.
No, I know that's true. I'm just saying, like they're not very interesting.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Keep going.
Oh, sure. And you think to yourself, I want to. You dream to yourself, I want to be a better player. How do I do this? Well, guess what? It's not always gonna be a bed of roses.
What?
Yeah, sorry. Sometimes you got to put your roses in the washing machine.
Sometimes it's going to be a bed of thorns.
And that means hard work. But the fun part is that Magic is not a horribly evil game. It's, in fact, quite a fun game. And so learning to get better is a fun process.
Maria, do you want to come listen to my new band, Bed of Thorns?
Yeah, what's your hit single?
Ouch.
Well, I got to give it to you. You stay on point. Stay on theme.
Oh, snap. On point.
Oh, get it?
Oh, got it. Okay.
I made a pun. I didn't even know it.
So, Maria, I'm wondering, what kind of things do I need to do to become a better player?
Okay, idiot. Oh, sorry. That was harsh. You need to play more games. Okay? That's obvious. But there's lots of things you might not think about that you should try and weave into your daily routine to help keep your mind focused on the game and getting better incrementally. Perhaps you won't even realize it until you play a game and you're like, I made a really smart decision there that I would not have expected myself to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, for instance, if you go online, there are tons and tons of video options for you out there to watch people play. You can watch people play Constructed. You can watch them play Draft. You can watch them play Sealed. You can watch them play Vintage. You could probably watch them play Commander. I don't know if you're into that sort of thing. You sadomasochist. Just kidding. Commander's fun game. We'll do an episode about it sometime. Everyone keeps asking.
Someday we will. Someday we will. We'll buy those new Commander packs that
came out. Yeah, that just came out. Yeah, so watching videos, I think, might be Maria's number one tip.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about a couple of places where you can go to see videos.
Sure.
There's Star City Games.
Mm-hmm.
And they really recently have taken a more Constructed bent. I feel like Star City, because they're pushing their SCG Opens, which are about Standard and Legacy.
Yeah.
It's a really good place to go and find Standard and Legacy videos. Particularly, there's two guys. Is it Todd Anderson and Brian Bronduin? Is that who does, they do the Versus videos.
Okay.
There's two guys on there. I don't always remember, or it's Brad Nelson, something like that. Might be Brad Nelson and Todd Anderson, something like that. Nope. Do you know what? I get them all confused. They all have very similar names. They're all men. And honestly, they all look a little bit the same. Okay. Moving on.
The
main point is that they have this series of Versus videos where they will take new popular decks, or they will sort of like brew their own decks around new cards, or sort of like a new archetype maybe that someone was dreaming up and tried out at an event recently, and then they'll pit them against each other so you can see what the matchups look like.
Cool.
So that's, especially if you're into Constructed, like, that's a pretty cool series.
Question.
Yes.
Star City Games has premium content, mm-hmm. which you need to pay cash money for. Is this a premium content thing?
Yes, it is premium content.
And so how much of a financial investment are we talking here?
I think it's like $30 a year.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
It's not a lot. Also, you can just also pay, find like, somebody. Find somebody who has an account and log on with theirs.
Share the cost among friends.
I've been watching these videos. I will admit right now, I do not have a premium account.
And if you want, you can just buy like 3 months at a time, I believe, or like 6 months at a time or something.
Absolutely. Also, if you go to one of their events, you get 6 months free.
Oh, okay.
They have like a little like redemption card or whatever.
So they're just giving this shit away anyway.
Yeah, so you can, it's one, it's pretty affordable. Two, there's a couple of ways. Also, like at their events, they'll have little like question contests during their coverage that you can tweet the answer at them, and you might win a month of free premium.
Awesome.
So check that out. That's pretty cool.
Channel Fireball is my go-to website to watch videos on, and they have a great combination of Standard and Limited videos. You get to see people stream who are your big pros, your favorite people to watch. The glorious Reed Duke will record some videos on there for you in the mm-hmm. silky tones of his voice. Mm-hmm. You can also hear LSV commenting on a draft, which is a great way to go to sleep at night, hearing the dulcet tones of LSV. And these are, I think, fun to watch, like, say, for instance, over your lunch break or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just Megan is eating a bagel.
Speaking of lunch break, I have a bagel in my mouth.
That's a good time, I find. Or mm-hmm. if you're taking a bubble bath. I am a fond believer in bubble baths.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is why I recently purchased a house with a clawfoot top. It was the number one thing on the list. Don't care about the rest of the house.
Yeah, I would say I probably watch between 3 and 5 videos a week.
Yeah.
Depending on what has been posted, especially since I also am primarily a limited player. I watch a lot of the Channel Fireball stuff because they tend to have a little bit more limited content. So it's just like if there's a new video, then I usually watch it.
Yeah, and it's a fun thing to go to sleep by too. Maybe it comes into your brain and you learn things and you don't even know it. MTGO Academy is another place that I like to go to watch Marshall from Limited Resources, good magic podcast. Draft. Those are always very quality videos on that website.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, the easiest way to kind of improve your skill, see what people are doing, and, you know, kind of take their advice and use it as you will with your own play style. On these websites as well are a ton of articles you can go and read.
Mm-hmm.
Tons and tons of articles. Just head on over, devour everything with your eyes. Daily MTG, which is Wizard's site, has a number of articles as well that they come up with that are strategy. And Reed Duke, as we mentioned before, is now writing a column for them. When he comes out, he has got a great series on dailymtg.com that is geared towards newer players.
Absolutely.
So that I would highly recommend as well. Besides pre-recorded videos, you can also watch people stream live on twitch.tv. You just need to search for Magic the Gathering. You can watch a lot of people stream. Megan and I have been known to stream
every once in a while.
Twitch.tv. Follow us at MTAcast on Twitter if you want to watch a stream, if you want to watch that.
Yeah.
If you're into that. Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And as we talk about sometimes, coverage of big opens like SCG opens is streamed on Twitch, the Pro Tour. So
Grand Prix.
Yep.
So watching videos, I feel like, is definitely something. Obviously, it's not like you need to get out there. You can't just watch videos. You need to get out there and practice and play a lot of games. But it is a really great way to learn. You can learn a lot about different people's card evaluations.
Yep.
Different strategies, different draft archetypes, all that sort of thing. It's pretty cool.
One person isn't going to be the ultimate sage on all of these either. You'll hear, for instance,
unless it's LSB.
Unless it's LSB, he's always right.
Then he's always right, okay.
Everybody else can be right or wrong. But it's interesting because you'll hear one pro say one thing about a rare and another pro say another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I don't know, Villainous Wealth, for instance.
Yeah, some people are like, yeah, and yes, people are like, no.
Never take it, you know. So yeah. So you get a wide range. A wide range. Okay, so speaking of going out there and playing,
yeah,
doing your homework, just playing the game, guess what, Megan?
What?
It's not enough.
It's not?
Also chicken butt.
What? Damn it. You got me twice.
So you've got to take a few moments to analyze your play after you play a game.
Yeah, it's always good. I remember reading an article on Channel Fireball. I think it was by Huey Jensen, about
but
evaluating...
they all look the same.
But they all kind
Megan
of
is so pro-racist. She's a racist of magic pros. Come
they
on,
all
Megan.
Look the same. They all look the same. I'm just going to say that Channel Fireball has more visual diversity amongst their pros than Star City Games.
You hear that, Star City? Get with the program.
I'm just saying. I'm kidding. I'm an awful person. Moving on.
Yeah.
About evaluating why you lost. And he said it's so easy a lot of the time to just be like, there's nothing I could have done.
Right.
But there's only, honestly, a small number of circumstances where there's nothing that you could have done.
Right. The number of times you say that versus the number of times it's actually true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, it is. And so it is always very good to evaluate, you know, after you win. Honestly, after you win, because there are some times if you did something right, just like remember that too.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Just be like, yeah, I kicked ass by doing this.
And why did I kick ass? Probably because of X, Y, and Z.
Exactly. But then on the flip side is that there is usually times when you lose, it can be really hard, especially if you get on tilt a little bit.
Yep.
It can be really hard to be like, to stop and admit to yourself what kind of mistakes you might have made. And maybe you need a couple of minutes. That's totally fine. But at some point you should stop and think about maybe what decisions you made during the game that might have influenced your defeat.
So an easy way to do this, I guess analyzing your defeat is never easy.
No.
But on Magic Online, if you happen to play a game, you can replay that match. You can watch that match replayed and kind of go over the turns and realize where you may have made a misstep. Perhaps you're playing too quickly. Maria's problem. And just go through it again and say, hey, at this point in the game, I could have saved myself 2 damage. And guess what? That would have been enough for me to last another turn.
Or there's a lot of times, God, there have been so many times when I'm the worst about end step, remembering end step things like Archer's Parapet.
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes you get your opponent to 1 and you're like, God damn it, there was that time earlier in the game.
Right, when I forgot.
When I forgot to Archer's Parapet them.
Lerp. You know what I wish? That Magic Online had a little fake die that you could put on top of your deck so that you remembered to do that.
Oh, God.
Although that's not really the same with Archer's Parapet. Like, that's not a upkeep ability. Mm-hmm. I'm referring to a reminder that you can do for yourself if you have something that happens on your upkeep, like, say, scrying or whatever. Putting a little die on top of your deck so that you don't draw your next card before you forget your upkeep ability. Mm-hmm. So, come on, Worth. Get on that. I want, like, a little reminder. Like, I can set myself a big flashing, like, siren that happens on my opponent's end step if I have an Archer's Parapeted. Oh, that's right. Archer's Parapet. This is a great idea I've just had.
A siren.
Right, a siren. Yeah. Perhaps a, like, my computer will give me a small electric shock if I have not done it.
Yeah, the MTGO shock collar. Why the heck not? Why the heck not?
Slightly terrifying.
Speaking of MTGO, you can replay your games.
That's what I just said. That's what we've been talking about. What did you think we were talking about?
I thought that we were talking about just... What the fuck is wrong with my brain? Maria. Wow. I blanked really hard.
I was like, oh my God, have we not just been having this conversation for the past 5 minutes?
For some reason, my brain does not remember us mentioning the replay. I remember the rest of the conversation, I think. MTGO siren, MTGO shock collar, Archer's Parapet, end step, things that I could have done differently.
Now who has a Hot Wheels car up in her brain?
I guess it's me.
In real life, you can do this too, though, and you can have the help of your buddies. Have one of your friends, perhaps, who is better at the game than you, watch over your shoulder, not necessarily giving you tips while you play. That would be really aggravating for your opponent. But
and
at the
depending on the level of competition, illegal.
Yes. But just have them, you know, say, hey, by the way, did you think about this? Or why did you choose that line of play as opposed to this other line of play? And they can give you some tips after the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a slap in the face if that helps you better. Jeez, I guess I am good.
You are all about negative reinforcement. So, I mean, if you want negative reinforcement, go with
I'm
Maria's.
Wondering what this says about me. Like, does that actually help me? Negative reinforcement? I don't
Maybe
think
you
it
were
does.
A nun in your past life.
And I hit children on the knuckles of the ruler?
Yeah, you totally did. Told them that riding with both hands is a sign of the devil.
You will ride with both hands to serve me.
What was that?
Whoa, I'm sorry, Megan. Did something happen? I just blacked out for a second.
No, everything's fine.
Oh, okay. Great.
So, let's see. What else?
Well, homework time does not only include analyzing your play, watching videos, reading articles, watching coverage. Whoa, this is taking up so much time on my week. That's okay. It's fun time. I would say a good thing to do is to, if you want to get better at drafting, there's a lovely little site, which we've talked about here on the show before, that you can go to and do a little practice draft with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's called, oh, God.
It's like Bestiaire.
Bestiaire.
Bestiaire or something like that. But if you just Google Magic Online Practice Draft,
it'll show
it's
up.
It's one of the top hits.
And it uses AI to kind of figure out what the people around the table would also be picking. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but it's a fun way to kind of just, if you're hankering for a fake draft and you want to, you know, dip your toe in the water a little, it's a fun site to use.
Yeah, it's a good time to just... It's nice to just practice again. Like, it's very good about card evaluation, right? It's helping you solidify that skill specifically, which is evaluating different cards.
Speaking of card evaluation, there is a player named Frank who
Frank Karsten?
Yeah, who does a list, a card evaluation list, and he does a pick order for every set.
That's true.
And that's a useful tool. Of course, it's not the end-all, be-all.
I'm not sure I completely agree with his ones for cons. I recently read that article.
Oh, yeah? Do you remember?
And there were ones he called, like, I think he called Mystic of the Hidden Way, like, the best common.
I've heard other players say that, like, as well.
I don't agree
necessarily. I disagree with that. But it is real good.
Yeah, I think he also had Wingmate Rock before High Sentinels. But I don't remember that one for sure.
Hmm, would you pick High Sentinels over Wingmate Rock?
I mean, if I would pick Wingmate Rock for the money.
Yeah.
But if I was, like, opening a sealed pool, I'd rather have High Sentinels.
Just because it has better reach?
I think it's in limited. I think it's a better card. That counter's ability is just, like, holy crap.
Oh, yeah. Here's his list.
It only costs 4.
It has channel bonus. Fireball. Oh, the top rares. The top rares. Mm-hmm. He has top uncommons. Oh, I see. Yes, he does have Wingmate Rock first, then High Sentinels, mm-hmm. then Ash Cloud, and then Sarkhan. And then mm-hmm. Crater's Claws, Ghost Fireblade, Dune Blast, Master of Brawls, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, you can check that out. Of course, it's always up for debate. Mm-hmm. He gave Mystic of Hidden Way the top blue common and uncommon, followed by Jeskai Windscout. Mm-hmm. So, I just want, like, the whole thing listed out by itself. Whatever.
Anyways, so I'm just saying, you are allowed to also disagree, which is another great skill.
Because this is America.
Mm-hmm. Land of disagreement.
Mm-hmm. That's written on our flag.
Land of you can have your own goddamn opinion.
That's right. In Australia, on the flag, it says Australia.
The land. We all agree.
We all agree.
Australia, we all agree.
When you go to Australia, you're just like, it's like you're unsigning an unsign-up, a hidden pact. I don't know, you're not actually signing anything, but you're
agreeing to a secret unspoken pact.
Unspoken, that's
that
the word.
That you will agree with everyone.
Yep, we just agree.
We just agree in Australia. We just agree.
Great place. We like each other.
Anyways, well, I'm just saying, like, it's a good skill to just be like, you're allowed to, even if someone, like a pro player, is like, I think that this card is better, you're allowed to be like, wait a second.
Yeah, pros don't know everything.
Exactly. They don't. There's not ever really a clear cut answer. There are always contingencies.
Yeah.
There are always different, like, maybe you're way better at playing one type of deck than another. And so if, like, first pick, you want to trend more aggro or you want to trend more control just because you know that personally you'll be more successful.
You'll be better. Yep.
So that's always stuff that weighs into it too.
But of course, playing other decks is another easy tip for improving your play. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know, I had a point when I was specifically drafting control decks because I was trying to get better at playing that archetype. Mm-hmm. I'm still not super great at it, but it's something that's on my mind. And recently, as I've been teaching some new players the game, I've been playing with their pre-constructed decks that they've come out with, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun because one of them was an event deck made to be played, like, say, at a Friday Night Magic. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting to see from that point of view. I very rarely will play a constructed deck, but it was interesting to try and play a deck that way as opposed to just always playing from my sealed limited pool that I've built myself. Mm-hmm. So it will stretch you in new ways, much like a gymnast performing a vault. Yep.
Uneven bars.
On the uneven bars.
Pommel horse.
On the pommel horse while doing the Iron Cross. It will stretch you.
That's a ringed trick.
So remember, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to take a long time, but it's going to be a fun long time. Mm-hmm. Megan, are you done with that bagel yet?
There's technically still another half, but I'll hold
what? On. What? you eat a bagel slower than a horse eats an entire country.
What?
Haven't you heard that saying?
I did not know that horses did that.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Where do you think Antarctica went? Global warming? Yeah, right.
Oh, gotcha. We're blaming it on the horses now? Global warming's not real. The polar ice caps are being eaten by horses. I tell ya.
Why are you a weird British person who believes that?
No, I'm a British anti-scientist, okay?
No such thing.
What? Everyone in Britain believes in science?
Everyone in Britain believes in science.
Okay.
You can't have that accent and not believe in science.
Well, let me tell you all about how My mom was American, so I'm half American.
Oh, okay.
So the American half of me is the half is anti-science. I don't even know what this accent is anymore.
It's slightly Cockney.
Yeah.
My dad was a cowboy.
Oh my god, my accent is at least better than that.
Hey, you want me to clean your chimney, governor?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good, thanks.
PTQ episode 2.
Oh, yeah.
The Q strikes back.
We're just... Okay, yeah.
Did you hear the new title for the new Star Wars film?
The Force Awakens?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Where was it?
Why was the Force asleep?
Probably because it had a late night.
Yeah, that's right.
Or it was on a bender.
It's just been slacking. Or maybe it's just been like... I don't know. Maybe it's been stressed. Stress can make you tired.
Really?
Yeah, so the Force was just feeling like stressed out. Mm-hmm. And it was just like,
It took some vitamin D...
Exactly, and like it's gonna be okay now.
Okay, it's back in business.
Yeah, exactly, it's fine.
So the Q strikes back. Megan recently went to another PTQ, and we're going to another one next weekend, which will make 3 within 3 weeks.
That's darn right.
This one was held in Madison, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
And Megan built a Jeskai deck that was splashing black for dead drop.
That's right, because you know what, you guys?
Why not?
If there's ever a dead drop in my pool...
You're going to
play
it.
9 out of 10, I'm going to play it if there's any way that I can.
Man, Dead Drop, for some reason, it's just so much better in Sealed.
I love Dead Drop.
In that Draft, I could so definitely take it or leave it. Good. But in Sealed, ugh, not in Sealed. It's going to blow
always
out.
Always take it.
So did it's you have so a dual good. Land to help you splash that?
I did. I had 2 dual lands, okay. Which is part of why I did it. So overall, I was telling Marie about this a little bit. My pool was fairly unexciting.
Yeah.
Just because I had a lot of mediocre creatures spread across all of the colors.
Right.
So there were
that sucks.
Really no standout creatures, except I think like an Abzant Guide and a Pine
I'm
Walker
looking at
or
Megan's
something like that.
Deck right now.
And like the rest of the problem is that any color where I had good like a good creature or two, like green, I literally had Pine Walker and Abzant Guide, and that was like it. And then I had like 2 Kintree Wardens. So it's like, dude, fuck this color. And then in like black, I had like no creatures. And in white, I had like Seeker of the Way and Einok Bondkin, which I ended up playing.
Yeah, those are good dudes.
So it was definitely one of the hardest sealed pools to build
yeah.
that I've had yet. It was incredibly difficult just because...
You got some D-style twins here.
Yeah.
Two free weapon masters.
That's right. And so I ended up going for, I was like, okay, there wasn't a lot of synergy. There wasn't anything that was just like crazy.
Aggro them out super fast.
Aggro them out.
Which is what Jeskai normally wants to do.
Exactly. And there wasn't like an Abzan counter strategy. I did have like a Sidisi, but that was like...
Who cares?
That was it that was good in those colors.
Yeah.
And also I think that card is like... fine but
it's
not
fine.
Amazing so I was just like, do you know what, I'm just going to assemble the collection of like the most efficient creatures that I can with
what
a couple
of
win conditions.
What do you mean by efficient?
I just mean like they have good but not great bodies for their cost. Just the same way I pick strippers.
Fine body. I'll get how much you cost? 15?
Okay.
I'll take it.
Anyways, so like to give you an idea, so I'm playing like a lot of like Salt Rolled Patrol style cards.
Right.
Where it's like at 4 mana you can drop it and it's gonna stop people's morphs from attacking. There's a lot of other creatures that it's going to just stop dead in their tracks. So like it's just efficient. It's not exciting. It's not great, but it's efficient. It will get its job done. So I had, you know, a lot of those. I had like a, you know, Sage Eye Harrier,
Scaldkin,
which I think is like, blech. Einok Bondkin, Seeker of the Way. Right, like Seeker of the Way was actually probably an Einok Bondkin were part of why I wanted to play white.
Right.
Because this will tell you how bad my creature pool was. Those were like standout creatures in my pool.
Well, I think the Efreet Weapon Master, I mean.
That's true, but that's
better
like.
Than
that's
people
like
give it credit
putting
for.
You into 3 colors.
It is.
No, I definitely like it. But when I was looking at like single color cards
sure.
that I wanted to play.
You also have Feet of Resistance.
Yeah, which actually, honestly, I kind of feel like I took that out a lot.
Why?
For more like a Disdainful Stroke or a Smite the Monstrous. Because my deck wasn't about making an awesome creature and protecting it. It was actually, it was more about killing all of their things and then casting a treasure cruise.
Interesting.
And so it was just outvaluing them. I had a Warden of the Eye, which actually was an all-star.
Absolutely.
That's the guy for 2BW. He's a 3/3. And when he enters the battlefield, you can return a non-creature, non-land card from your graveyard to your hand. And that
How did
guy
you
was
return
just,
dead drop, dead drop?
I never returned dead drop, but I had Aerostorm, I had Arc Lightning, I had Winter Flame, and I had Master the Way. So those were all just like, you know, those are good cards that you want to return. Right? I went for a lot of like card advantage. Like, okay, my cards aren't spectacular, but I can get some real card advantage going with like Master the Way, which draws you a card. Warden of the Eye, which essentially draws you a card.
Yep.
And then all of these creatures, like I was playing like a War Behemoth and a Sageye Harrier, which can just hold the ground. And I had a Ghostfire Blade. So man, you stick a Ghostfire Blade on a Sageye Harrier, like no one's getting through that shit. It's a 3/7 flyer.
Nice.
What are you going to attack me with?
I'm going to attack...
fucking nothing.
Assault Roll Patrol with a counter on it, and also I have the 2/3 who makes that a flyer, and then it also has a Ghostfire Blade as well.
Okay, there you go.
Three Ghostfire Blades.
That will do the trick. Anyways, so I just kind of outvalued them until I could play something that was good enough to win. Like Dragon Style Twins, I was actually very happy with.
Okay, that's good.
I know that people have been sort of like, eh, but I dealt someone 18 damage in a turn.
Well, you know,
it.
If you're able to clear their board before Dragonstyle Twins makes it a lot better.
Yeah, that too. Or it was also just good at holding, you know, holding the ground.
Yeah.
And this was actually where I would say that when we were talking earlier about like saying like pointing out times when you made good plays, there were a lot of times with Dragonstyle Twins where it has prowess, which a lot of people forget.
Yes.
And there were a lot of times when I just like set up a situation where I let my opponent walk into forgetting that they have prowess.
So did you trigger prowess prior and you did not announce it? You don't have to announce your prowess triggers, BT dubs, or did you play a trick and then it prowessed?
Both of those. I did both of those things where it's like I would play something and then I would allow them, like they would just usually like, again, they would just like walk into it. Sometimes it's like I would attack with it and it's a 3/3 and they would try to block with something that was like, like I had someone that had a Sidisi's Pet with 2 counters on it. So it's a 3/6.
Yeah.
And I would just like attack and then they're like, oh, your guy's died and guy dies. And it's like, no, he has prowess. He does not die. So stuff like that, which, you know, is good. And then I had like a Riverwheel Aerialists, which sometimes you put a Ghostfire Blade and a Riverwheel Aerialist
and
attack them.
Yeah, that's it.
A bunch. So yeah, it was really interesting because it was definitely the first time when I felt like my deck does not have a plan. It's like it doesn't have a lot of very cohesive synergies going on.
Right.
And it doesn't have a lot of great bombs. But it's just like, do you know what? It's all about
value.
It's all about value. It's all about card like efficiency. Card and value.
So how did you end the day, Megan?
I ended at 6-2.
That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. I mean, god damn it, I keep ending at 6-2. One fewer loss, Maria, and I'll be there.
6-1 you needed?
If you get 6-1 is usually good enough to top 8.
Why? I would think that 6-2, geez.
Nope, man, there's too many people.
How many people were at this PTQ?
God, like 160, something like that.
Okay.
So
I also find it funny how people choose to say X and whatever, which I think is kind of hilarious because they're completely disregarding their wins.
Yeah, that's true.
And just counting their losses.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why that's exactly a thing. I guess it's just so you don't have to remember where you are in the round.
What
you
round
say, where
number
are you?
It is.
X and one.
So at the start of the day, you're X, X, and X, or triple X, as it were.
I think you're X and O.
Whatever.
Absolutely.
I was counting win, loss, tie. Each one of those is an X.
X, X, X?
Yeah.
You're triple X.
You're triple X at the start of the day.
Remember, you always start at triple X.
And always as a level 0 judge.
Oh, yeah.
The things I learn on this show will stay with me for a lifetime.
That's right. Anyways, so it was...
I like your deck, by the way.
Thanks. I think it's... I did not think that it was as good as it was, honestly. I was surprised.
Classic by, Megan.
Yeah, that's true. By how efficient it was at doing its job. I will say that all of the games that I won, like, everything was close. I never had an easy match all day.
Yeah.
It was always just, like, by the skin of my teeth.
Oh, that's gotta be harrowing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's gotta be harrowing.
Especially, like, the last three rounds of the day, I would lose the first game.
And then crawl.
And then, claw my way back and win the next two games.
That's so stressful, but awesome.
It really is. Oh, okay, so wait, I'm gonna tell you the best one of the day. So I had lost the first game to a guy who was playing, like, Monastery Swift Spears. He was just super aggro.
Yeah.
And so there's something like he Icy Blasts. He has a long shot squad that has a counter on it. So he has a 4/4 and he Icy Blasts my only creature in play, which is a face down morph. And it's locked down for the next turn. He attacks me down to 1, yikes, plays a timely Horde Mate, which is a 3/2 and gets back Monastery Swift Spear. So I'm at 1. I only have a frozen creature. And he has long shot squad, timely Horde Mate, and this Monastery Swift Seer, but no cards in hand. He's played out everything. So I untap, and I think the turn before I had Treasure Cruised. You guys, God, Treasure Cruise is so good.
It's a great cruise.
So fucking good. Anyways,
around Florida down to Hawaii.
Or I might have I had a lot of cards in my yard already, so maybe I Treasure Cruised that turn. But I draw an Aerostorm, I think. And so
what is he at?
He's at a lot.
Okay.
That's not the relevant part of this.
Okay.
I have a suspension field in hand, so I suspension field his long shot squad.
Yeah.
I Aerostorm his timely Horde Mate, and I play a tap land and gain a life, so I'm at 2 instead of 1.
That's awesome.
And he has a Monastery Swift Spear, and I'm just like, fucking A, if he does not draw like a spell, like a non-creature spell, I will live, my creature will untap, like, we're gonna be in fucking business.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he untaps, attacks me with his stupid Monastery Swift Spear for 1, and I go to 1, and then, like, I end up winning from there.
That's so crazy!
It was so good.
Gain land FTW.
It was literally one of those things where I was just like, well, these are the, like, this is what I need.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, if I had not had that land, I still just would have died.
Oh, it was God. Great one. Bonkers. Great one.
It was real good. It was really good.
Do you have a goal for next week when we PTQ for time number 3? It'll be time number 2 for me, but.
Yeah.
For the Return of the Jedi.
The Return of, PTQ Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
What's the goal?
What's your goal?
God. I don't know. It's really hard because I think that the jump from X2 to X and 1
is big.
Is a huge jump.
It is.
It's absolutely enormous. So it feels really daunting.
But guess what? Did Amelia Earhart crash her plane?
No, actually she had an emergency landing on an island.
And she's still alive and with us?
No, she's not alive. But she had... Okay, there's a whole theory about this.
Okay.
They're pretty sure now that she had an emergency landing on this island, and then she turned on her plane's, like, the emergency distress signal.
Yeah.
But eventually, because of, like, the way she had to land it, or, like, the size of the island or something, like, the ocean came up, like, the tide washed her airplane away eventually.
So she lived as a princess on this island.
I don't know what the fuck happened after that. I just know that a scrap washed up on the shore of this island recently that, like, essentially confirms the theory that that's what happened.
What I'm trying to say is she didn't go down immediately. She wasn't daunted.
That's right. She was undaunted. So maybe I will... God. I don't know what my goal is, Maria.
All right, we'll
see. My goal
is
to just keep fucking kicking ass.
I just gotta say that if you think about where we were at PTQ season, for instance, just Theros block with this, our records were not as good as they've been. Mm-mm. With these. So, mm-hmm, growth happens, people.
Yeah, it does.
That's the name of my textbook that my brother had to read in middle school.
Growth happens.
Yeah, just kidding, I don't have a brother.
Yeah, you don't.
Tricked you guys. Dirt Derp Town. So a few episodes ago, we asked you for your favorite derpiest cards, and we got some great responses on Twitter at MTAcast. Everybody, join the party. And one listener wrote in with his favorite derp of all time, Pillarfield Ox. Great That's derp.
Right. Great derp. Oh, 4 for 1. Why the heck not?
And he raised an important point that I think we need to discuss here.
Yeah.
And that's the flavor text on Pillarfield Ox from M14 and M15 was disturbing.
There's a lot of ox hate going on.
Definitely. I think Megan and I have called you all here. We're going to start a PETA, but specifically for Pillarfield Ox.
That's right. Do you know what? We're asking the tough questions. Like, right. Wizards, what do you have against oxen?
Right. Wizards, excuse me.
What do they do to you?
Do you have a problem with the cloven hooved?
Exactly. Like, what did an ox murder your mom?
Did an ox sleep with you and then not call?
Ugh.
That's, first of all, bestiality.
Yeah. But second of all, do you know what? Like, that doesn't reflect poorly on all oxen.
No. Not all oxen are jerks,
if you will.
Just because. Anyway, the reason we know oxes.
Not all oxen are jerk. to quote you, to quote Maria, not all oxen are jerk.
Is that what I said? Yes. All right. The reason we're saying this is the flavor text. So Megan, Patrick Stewart is going to come visit us and read the flavor text from M14 and M15's Pillarfield Ox. Patrick, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Maria. What happened to Patrick Stewart? What's wrong with him? You old, immobile clod. If I could stuff your doltish head with knowledge, I'd do it. Just so someone else could fully comprehend what your stubbornness has cost me.
Yikes.
Wow.
Powerful stuff.
Scary. I mean, that ox has really done a lot to that man's family.
How about M15?
May starving fleas birth 1,000 generations on your stubborn hide, cow! Wow.
Wow.
That is Patrick Stewart as Bruce Tarl, Goma Fada Nomad.
So, Wizards obviously has a bias against ox and oxen.
Yeah.
And we're just here to say, guess what, Wizards? We're calling you out.
That's right.
If the next Pillarfield Ox you print
has another mean quote from Bruce, slur, whatever his face. Do you know what? Let's get someone else's opinion on oxen. Let's not just get Bruce's.
Yeah, like maybe some other character from your lore loves oxes.
Exactly. Maria.
What?
Weird story. So yesterday in the car back from this PTQ, we were talking about what is Nyssa's deal? Right? Everybody has a deal.
What do you mean, what is Nyssa's deal?
Chandra is a pyromaster. Liliana is into all sorts of
dark. By the way, you said
shit.
04, he's 2-4.
Oh,
You're thinking of that other ox.
What? Pillarfield is an 04.
But look.
What? Oh, you're right. Never mind. I was thinking of Yoked Ox.
Yeah.
You're right. Pillarfield Ox. My bad. 2-4 still. What did he ever do to you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, like, what is...
So
you know,
Liliana's crazy. She likes to turn people evil.
Exactly. Jace's deal is being broken.
Yeah, Jace...
Jace is just about being better than everybody else.
Garrick is about...
Hunting. He's a hunting dude.
Chandra, fire.
So we were reading Nyssa's, magic wiki.
Yeah.
And essentially, she's a curious but xenophobic elf. What? Is essentially what you get from it. She's really convinced that elves are the superior race. Like, just go and read her wiki. That is Nyssa's deal.
Whoa, so she's like in the elf KKK?
Yes, Nyssa is the elf KKK.
Grand Dragon? Wow.
Also, wow. I was recently reading Devil in the Grove, which is an excellent book. It won the Pulitzer in 2013 for nonfiction.
No big deal.
And it's about Thurgood Marshall. And terrible white people.
I wish it was just called terrible white people.
I mean, the devil is a white man. Let's just get that out there. Anyways.
And he uses two hands. Whoa, I blacked out again. What happened?
Nothing, Maria. Okay. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Okay.
I'm going to take you to get some.
I feel weird.
Anyways, and there's a lot of, there are a lot of people in the story who are, like people who in South Florida who are part of the KKK, and that, like, what the fuck was with those titles?
Grand Dragon.
What was it? The other, there's like the Cyclops, like the Grand Cyclops or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that was
super
one.
Weird. Also, one of the most fucked up organizations that ever existed.
I was just learning about the KKK and drunk history.
They did. They were the awful. Other day. What did they have to say? What did drunk history have to say about
so, them? So what happened was, everybody who's watched this is like, oh God. Okay.
Everybody who listens to the podcast is like, this took a turn.
So there was a guy who decided to infiltrate the KKK.
I did not know this until I read the book. Lots of the FBI
were in there.
Was actually investigating them because it was obviously highly illegal and they were terrible people.
Yeah, anyways. And he infiltrated and got in and learned all of their secret ways. And he happened to know the people who ran the Superman radio show at the time. And mm-hmm. he went and told them all about the KKK's ways. And they broadcast mm-hmm. it actually on the show where Superman fought the KKK. Mm-hmm. And it basically exposed them as being very childlike and mm-hmm. stupid with their silly little rules and strange names for themselves. Mm-hmm. Anyway, drunk history actually learned things. And Nyssa apparently is a hate monger.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, lots of her wiki is about how elves are the best, so weird.
Well, I kind of agree with her. I mean, elves kind of are the best. What?
But they're like, but she thinks that they're like the most superior. That's where it gets weird.
That's where it gets a little uncomfortable.
That's where it gets uncomfortable. Just saying, you guys, what is Nyssa's deal? Being a xenophobic elf.
She also turns lands into creatures.
That's true. This version does.
So I guess... I don't know if she's into whatever. That.
She's into forests.
Maybe we could find Nyssa's OK Cupid profile. Find out what else she's into.
We should write OK Cupid profiles for the Planeswalkers.
I agree. We'll do that. Okay.
Coming soon to our website.
Okay. We will have we should do it on the show.
Okay.
And read them.
You got it. And we'll also post them.
Okay, perfect.
OK Cupid profiles.
Imagine the amateuring where we write the fucking show on the show.
That's right.
Just for you.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So there you go. That got way off topic.
It sure did.
What were we talking about?
Basically, we were talking about injustice. Injustice in Magic for certain cards.
Wizards, looking at you.
Wizards has a big beef with Pillarfield Ox, exactly. And we are sick of it, Wizards.
Poor dude. Get someone else's opinion. Let's hear some nice things about that Ox.
Thank you for listening to our grievances.
So I was thinking about, you know how lots of shows or people get like, preview cards for a new set when yes. it's coming out, but right, the preview cards are always like good cards. They're always like the rares and the really good uncommons,
right?
We should petition to just get like the derpiest common from any awesome. New set to preview on our show.
Oh my gosh, who do we have to ask?
I don't know. I think that should be our, like, we need to campaign.
All right, we're campaigning.
That's right,
listeners. You are our greatest support system and hand holders.
So we're gonna work it out. We'll talk about it and we'll work out a better system for like organizing for this.
But have them like tweet at them, email
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And just this be is like, great. We don't need a good card to preview.
We want give us the, just like the awful
give
card.
Us the worst card. Give us the card that you're just like.
It should be a creature, but a derp creature.
A total derp creature. Like, Wizards, give us the derpiest card to preview
that
on
would
our
be
show.
So awesome. Because everyone else like, no one, bomb rares.
Exactly. Like, no one wants to preview the derpy cards. They just eventually like slap those on the website.
Yeah, so why not?
Just be like, give us the Pillarfield Ox of the set.
Megan, now you're no better than them.
I'm sorry, Pillarfield Ox. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
So we're going to work on that, okay?
Yeah.
We want to preview the derpiest card of a new set.
We'll do it for you, listeners.
It would be amazing.
A sign of our love. Well, everybody, that's this episode of Magic the Amateuring. Thanks again for wasting an hour of your life that you'll never get back with us. Went down the tube like an old tube sock.
I have recently invented a time machine, so this hour is not wasted for me. I'm going to go back and relive it.
You're like Hermione.
That's right.
With the time turner.
That's for sure.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's still gone. And I am one hour closer to death.
Cheerful.
Very cheerful. If you guys want to hear more from us, more things from out of our holes in our faces that make noise, head to iTunes, where you can subscribe to our podcast. Stitcher, we also are on there, as well as mtgcast.com, themeatery.org, and magicTheAmateuring.com straight up.
That's right. You can find us on Magic Online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny_Unicorny.
check us out. Say hi, give us a good luck high five, and we'll do the same if we're all online.
Yes, we certainly will. I love to hear from people when we're online.
It's pretty cool.
Even if I don't respond right away because I'm drafting and I'm like in the middle of it or something.
That is very true.
I don't know. But we would love for you to support our Patreon. If you head to patreon.com/mtacast and pledge as little as $1 per episode, we would be super, super happy for that. And we've got cool surprises coming down the way, as well as rewards coming your way soon.
Oh, we have a pretty... I am getting very excited for our 100th episode surprise.
Yes.
It's going to be so good.
You guys, make sure you listen to 100th episode. We've talked about it a little bit, giving you a little bit of a hint on the show, but it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really special. I think it's, as far as magic podcasts go, I think it will be entirely unique.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't that think, is true. I think it will be unlike anything that anyone on a magic podcast has ever done.
Yay!
And I mean that totally sincerely.
Yay! And it's only a few episodes away.
Yay!
Okay, guys, we'll see you for the next episode next week, and keep your hats on for episode 100. Coming Woo-hoo. Your way ASAP.
Ass app.
What's your favorite ass app on the iPhone?
I really like the one where I allow my butt to play games with my phone while I'm just like sitting on it.
Yeah, like so you're like playing,
like it's like
Bejeweled.
It's like in my back pocket because like I'm like on the bus or something, mm-hmm. and my butt can stay entertained.
My favorite ass app is Butt Dialer, where it's meant to butt dial your friends.
Oh yeah, totally. Uh-huh. They just get like a fun surprise call.
Yeah.
Bye guys.
Bye.